This message was recorded at Leeds Vineyard during a Sunday morning service. Please feel free to copy it or forward it if it's helpful. We pray that it may be God's word in season for you today.
So, have a look at these faces. Which face would you use for Jesus right now? I don't know. A happy one, a tongue sticking out one, a cross one. The face that often comes to mind when we think about Jesus is, thanks to Hollywood, something like this one. But if you read the stories about Jesus carefully, you'll see that most of the time he was a happy man, telling jokes and stories, surrounded by people who loved him, loved being with him. He was eating and drinking. He all seemed to be doing that, either leaving or coming to a meal or in a meal. There were times when he was sad or angry, but generally he was a vibrant, joyful, life and soul type young man. Our theme for this year is Follow Me, and it's all about learning to become one of his disciples. And we've spent some time looking at what that means about being with Jesus. And we're going to be spending some time in a few weeks' time learning out what it means to do the things that Jesus would do if he were among us right now. And right now, our topics are around the theme of becoming like Jesus, this vibrant, joyful, life and soul young man. He was generally happy and joyful. And as we follow him and want to become more like him, we are going to become more happy and joyful, aren't we? Some of us are temperamentally joyful. And I'm thinking of the perpetually cheerful Sue or Vanessa or Jerry. And those of you who know them know that they seem to be, whatever else is going on in their lives, and they all have tough stuff in their life, they seem to bubble with happiness. Some of us, though, are temperamentally a bit less cheerful. Where are you on that scale? See, as I've been thinking about this and been working on this theme for a while, I've realized as I've been getting older, been describing myself as getting grumpy. I know, I can hear you. Many of you are saying, well, you are. But I realize that I need to repent of this. It's not okay to let myself get grumpy. And it's not okay to use getting older as an excuse for being difficult or bad company. So if I've done that, if I've said that to you, I'm sorry. And if I've allowed that to excuse my behavior, I'm sorry. I can just hear cheering over there in another room where my wife is listening. On the contrary, as we get older, we should be getting more joyful. So what is joy and how do we become more full of joy? Would you turn with me to Galatians chapter 5? Galatians chapter 5 in the New Testament. It's one of Paul's letters to churches. And we're just going to read one verse together, Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 to 23, okay? And it goes like this: But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance or patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. This is God's word to us, and it's absolutely right, and it's given to us because he loves us. Thank you, Lord. The fruit of the Spirit that he talks about there is comprehensively on display in Jesus Christ. And we are aiming to become more like him, and so we should expect to grow this fruit in our lives as Holy Spirit dwells in us more and more. In a couple of weeks, I'm going to be speaking about peace, and a bit later on, Sarah, who's welcoming us today and our host today, will be teaching about patience or forbearance in some of the translations. But this week we're looking at joy. People should be able to look at me and say, David demonstrates joy. And they should be able to say that I am more joyful this year than I was last year. Because the longer you have followed Jesus and been full of Holy Spirit, the more his fruit will grow in you. This joy thing, happiness, well-being, it's one of the key preoccupations of humanity, isn't it? There's a new series of Just William stories starting on the radio this week called Pursuing Happiness. And I think we pursue happiness because we're made to be happy. We are made in the likeness of a joyful, happy God. But the trouble is, we tend to pursue happiness and look for it in the wrong places. So people will often say, you know, you ask them about their children and their hopes for them, and they'll say, we just want them to be healthy and happy. It's even enshrined in the American Declaration of Independence, where it lists right at the end of it, among the rights of man are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. But I want to share with you that actually the pursuit of happiness is not a biblical perspective and is doomed to failure. If we seek wealth, we are not assured of joy. If we seek chase after sex, we're not assured of delight. If we pursue success, we're not assured of well-being. Scripture draws us not into the pursuit of happiness, but into the pursuit of God. If we chase after joy, it means that we're not seeking God. But when we chase after God, we will find joy. And joy is this big theme in the Bible. There are hundreds of references to it, along with the synonyms, happiness, delight, laughter, well-being. If, like me, you come from a more melancholic or gloomy gene pool, thanks, Dad, thanks, Granddad, you may have to work harder at this. And I just want to say thank you to those of you who are temperamentally more cheerful. We need you around so much. Please be there. The thing is that it's not about our circumstances. We will not grow joy trying to change our circumstances. That takes us right back to that pursuit of happiness thing. You know, if only I could earn more money, if only I could marry a better looking person, if only I could get fit, if only I could get famous, then I'd be happy. But circumstances are not the source of joy. There's been quite a lot of secular research done into the whole subject of well-being and happiness. And although those terms are notoriously difficult to define, it is generally agreed that circumstances contribute only a small amount to people's joy. It's fascinating research. I mean, it does happen. You know, your team will score a goal. Your baby will take its first step. You'll meet a friend after a long lockdown. They'll all provide you moments of happiness, but they won't build a joyful character. They're like a chocolate biscuit. Chocolate digestive. It's like one of those which gives you a glucose rush and tastes lovely, but it gets you through an afternoon dip, but it doesn't make you healthy. So how do you develop joyful character? There are two ways to develop joyful character very quickly. One is active, something you do, and one is passive, something that is done to you, and both are needed. They're both part of the same thing. And this verse in Galatians is set in the context of both. Earlier on, it talks about being welcoming the Holy Spirit into our lives to lead us, to change us. That's the passive bit. But it also talks about us deliberately choosing to walk in the way of Jesus, and that's the active bit. So these two approaches, you invite the Holy Spirit to fill you and change you and make you more like Jesus, to grow the fruit of joy in your life, to help you to laugh at my jokes and bring a smile to your face and to see the glasses half full. It's a work of the Holy Spirit. And he does this, the theologians call it sanctification, by sort of rewiring our character to respond to the awesome, eternal good news. This sort of fundamental thing that I can be forgiven my sin, that Jesus has overcome the power and pain of death, and that I have already started to live a fulfilled and happy eternity. Let the Holy Spirit work that truth in you, and that's a passive bit of growing joy. The active bit is choosing to set your mind and your spirit and your body towards building joyful spaces and moments into your life to discover the springs of happiness. Joy is good. Happiness is Christ-like. Delight is something God wants you to live in. So develop familiarity with spiritual practices. Yes, definitely. Bible reading, prayer, fasting, all those ways that we've been learning about being with Jesus. But also make your body do joyful things. Marie Kondo likes tidying the plastic containers in her kitchen cupboard. Here's some of the ways that the Holy Spirit helps me find joy. You make your own list. So for me, eight. I like humor, jokes. I like storytelling. I tend to watch comedians. I write down jokes. I memorize them. I love reading books and novels, particularly ones that are funny, and I look them out, and they give me joy. Another thing that gives me joy that I lean into is my Sabbath day, my day off once a week, when I try and focus on those things that are replenishing. And it's a day of joy for us. Alice and I often go for a walk. I'll do lots of reading. I'll rest. It's a source of joy. Food and drink occasions. To be honest, the food and the drink are largely irrelevant to me. But the occasion of being with people is a joy thing that I love. Music. I listen to lots of music. I've got eclectic tastes. And I find joy in that. And I find even a special joy in singing worship songs with others, with you, when we're gathered together. There's something joy finds it easier to arrive in me in those times. Holidays. We've built lots of traditions on holidays. When the boys were young, we used to drive to Italy and camp there, and we would listen to Just William stories all the way there and all the way back. Ashburnham. We, along with lots of our friends, many of you go to Ashburnham every 2 years. Times of joy. Two other things. One thing is that I start every day as part of my devotion, finding three things to say thank you for, and I try and journal them down and think about, well, what am I grateful for? That's a way of kicking off the day with joy. And the final thing I would say, which is actually a negative, it's what I don't do, is I avoid social media. Social media is designed to distract your attention away from joy and get you attending to all the worst things in your character. So I avoid social media. Let me wrap up. Conclusion. We're learning about being with Jesus. And as we spend time with him, we want to become more like him. Jesus was the happiest person who ever lived. And so we need to seek to grow the same fruit of joy in our lives. So my exhortation to you is, don't settle for being less than joyful. Turn your attention away from the things that drain joy from you, and instead deliberately invest your life in those things that bring happiness. Invite Holy Spirit to fill you every day as you seek to walk in his way. Surrender unconditionally to his love. And whatever your circumstances, your pain, your grief, or your celebrations, allow him to grow in you an exuberant response to your salvation and the hope of resurrection. May you know a harvest of joy.